Adherence, here we go with our third episode of the Respiratory System podcast, looking at various aspects of that. Obviously, you guys have assessment coming up soon, so this will no doubt be helpful for you to listen to. In this particular episode, we are going to look at some of the acute and long-term responses to exercise that the respiratory system will experience. Have a bit of a discussion about why and how some of those things occur, and then just go over a few key points that might just need some clarification for a few people. So let's jump into it. So we're going to look at acute responses to exercise. Now, when we use that term acute responses, we're talking about the immediate effect or the immediate changes that might occur within the system, or whatever it is that we're talking about, in this case, the respiratory system. So three things that we would expect to happen straight up. First thing would be an increase in the respiration rate, so that's breathing in and out. That's going to happen faster. We would expect an increase in tidal volume, so that's the amount of air that we're breathing in and out in each inhalation and exhalation. That would increase. And we would also expect there to be a greater uptake of oxygen or greater use of oxygen. When we are at rest, we breathe in and out, and the air that we breathe in and out, we use some of the oxygen, we don't necessarily use all of it. Once we start exercising and that oxygen demand increases, then we would start to see more of it actually being used by the body. I know in my class we've talked about why the body needs oxygen, in that the cells are producing energy. To produce energy aerobically, they need oxygen to be present, so we need to breathe it in and transport it around the body to the working muscles, so that it can be used in the creation of energy. At the same time, there's an increase in the byproducts produced, so carbon dioxide, heat, and water vapor, which means that we need to expel that, we need to get rid of it somehow, and we use our respiratory system to do that. Now, we do need to be wary when we are talking about these things in terms of the definitions of ventilation and respiration, because they are actually a little bit different, which can sometimes be confusing. So if we're talking about ventilation, we're talking about the movement of air in and out of the lungs. So that's ventilation. Respiration is when we have an exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide, and that can happen either at the alveoli in the respiratory system or then down the track at the muscle where it's exchanged. And we'll talk about that when we start looking at the circulatory system. But respiration will actually occur in both of those places. It's interesting, though, that often we talk about respiratory rate as being when we breathe in and out. So there is a confusion amongst the terms and how they're used there that you do just need to be a little bit wary of. Now, when we start looking at the long-term effects of exercise on the respiratory system, we need to make sure that we are actually focusing on the respiratory system. In the past, I've seen some responses where people start talking about the effect that it might have on muscle development or that sort of thing. That's a different system within our body, so we need to focus on breathing. Okay, and that can be a way to check your answers to see if you've done the right thing, is to look back and say, well, do all of these dot points actually relate to the respiratory system and the things that we've covered so far? So if we're talking about an athlete that has been training for a period of time, let's say 8 to 12 weeks or more, then we're going to start seeing some physiological changes in that person. The strength of their diaphragm and intercostal muscles will have increased as their body becomes more efficient at actually breathing. They'll have an increased number of alveoli within the lungs. The body's going to try and generate more surface area for gas exchange to happen. There's going to be an increase in vital capacity, and I'll talk about lung volumes a little bit later on. But vital capacity is basically the amount of air that we can exhale after one breath in, which means that we've been able to breathe more air in the first place. The other thing that you will see is that the body becomes far more efficient in oxygen delivery and also carbon dioxide removal from the body. So there's an increase in the body's capacity to do that. That would be four really good things to be thinking about or talking about if you're considering the effects of regular training or long-term activity on the body. The big question becomes, how do we determine how well someone's respiratory system is working? And one of the best tools for using that, or one of the most commonly talked about tools for using that, particularly in a sporting context, would be to talk about the VO2 maximum, or VO2 max, if you like. Now, that stands for change in oxygen and we're looking at the maximum change in oxygen. So VO2 max is a bit of an abbreviation for a few things. The VO2 max tells us how much oxygen can the body bring in and use. Okay, so VO2 max is about the amount of oxygen that can be brought into the body and used or utilized by the body to generate work or to produce work. A lot of different VO2 max tests exist. We could talk about the multi-stage shuttle run or multi-stage fitness test, which is known as the BEEP test. You could do a 12-minute run. You could do a cycle ergometer, a running ergometer. I actually have seen a swimming one done before, which would have been pretty tricky. And there's also one that is called a yo-yo test that is becoming more common in team sports to be used. So there's some different tests on how that happens. And essentially, it looks at lining up or marrying up the concept of an endurance athlete and what their VO2 max score would be. The higher someone's VO2 max, then that means the more oxygen they're using, which means they should be able to produce more work or a higher intensity of work than someone else based on their ability to use oxygen or their body's ability to use oxygen. Now, if we're looking for a way to describe that, we're saying it's the best indicator of cardiorespiratory endurance, of the body's ability to continually produce movements using the cardiorespiratory system. The BEEP test, like I said, is probably the easiest and most common test to use there, and that's just because it's really cheap. You literally need the audio and a 20-meter space, and you're done. And you can use then your score and your result from that to calculate your VO2 max. Now, VO2 max is measured in milliliters per kilogram per minute, which means that we're talking about the volume of oxygen that can be used per kilogram of body weight per minute. And what that means is that we can compare athletes of different sizes. So there's no advantage then to be a massive, tall, big athlete and have a high VO2 max versus someone who is shorter or smaller and has the same VO2 max. It means that we can compare them without having to worry about other factors. Quick chat on lung volumes. Now, we would have talked about tidal volume in class and we would have talked about vital capacity in class. Our vital capacity is a good indicator of just how much volume we can inhale and exhale. So we're talking about lung volume here. So how much we can inhale and exhale forcibly. That obviously is not the amount that is used every time we breathe in and out. And once we start exercising, we don't instantly jump to that vital capacity. We'll be operating somewhere between our resting tidal volume and then the demands of the exercise. It's only when you would be hitting the real peak of a VO2 max test that you would probably be approaching that vital capacity. And that would be, to get to that point, would be a real psychological thing because your body would be screaming for you to stop and you'd be trying to force yourself to keep on going. It can be measured and we can sort of do a forced exhalation and measure that, and they use a spirometer to look at that and measure that sort of a thing. There's a couple of other volumes there that we probably should just know about. And this one, not necessarily going to be on a test, but it's called the residual volume. Anytime you do an exhalation, there will always be a small amount of air left inside the lungs. And that's just our residual volume. So when you're breathing out, there will probably still be a bit of air left in your lungs. You just haven't breathed it out yet. And you can probably try that. If you exhale now and then see if you can exhale again, it's just using part of that residual volume to exhale it out. Tidal volume. Our tidal volume, if you were to draw a graph of it, it's going to be like a wave going up and down, up and down, up and down. Now, that would be around about 500 mil when we are resting, and then can increase up around 3 to 4 litres every time we breathe in and out once we start exercising. Obviously, it depends on the intensity that we start exercising as to what that reaches. Now, if you were asked to draw a graph of that or look at a graph of that, the other element that you would need to think about would be the rate that you are breathing. So if you had to span 60 seconds at rest, then you'd be showing a graph moving up and down about 500 mils every time you breathe in and out, but it would need to go up and down 12 times before you reach the 60 second mark across your graph. Once you started exercising, then it would just start to increase in volume as you went into that exercise time. Okay, final word before we clock off on the respiratory system prior to your assessment. Obviously, there is a whole stack of revision material located through your OneNote, through the PowerPoints, on Schoolbox, through the homework sheets that you've completed. There's plenty there for you to do and to go back through. You're going to need to make sure you can do all of those things. Label diagrams, describe each of the features of the system. Big one, what are the functions of the system? What does it actually do? And be specific with that, don't be general. You'd need to be able to consider inhalation and exhalation and how that happens and describing what happens at that point in time. You'd need to be able to maybe think about smoking. Now, what I've seen amongst our homework sheets has been really good in people being able to differentiate between the diseases that are common in smokers versus the effect on the respiratory system. So an effect on the respiratory system might be that cilia is impacted upon, so the body can no longer filter the air that's coming in and out because that's been damaged, the cilia has been damaged. That's an effect, whereas if you were to be looking at a disease, that may be asthma. They may be suffering from asthma as a result of smoking. If we don't know by now that smoking is really bad for you, then let's make sure we check that box and understand that. We do not want these conditions. Particularly, not so much asthma, that can happen for a whole range of reasons, but the diseases that can occur, the damage that can occur to our respiratory system, we really want to avoid that. Make sure you can describe immediate responses to exercise and long-term responses to exercise. If you can do all of those things, if you know how to label, if you've practiced, then you'll be probably really well set to complete that assessment task. If you've got any questions, obviously email them through, voice message them through using Anchor FM, or do whatever you need to do. Contact your own teacher even, or me, doesn't really matter, to help yourself out with the respiratory system. Hope everything goes well, and we'll talk again once we hit the circulatory system. Catch you later.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.